engage more with the public. My co-host, guest co-host this afternoon is Lena Trudeau. You're a big collaboration fan, and so you agree with that statement, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Fact that people at agencies should be collaborating with people, and you can certainly do that online, but our next guest is looking at ways of taking the best from good old-fashioned in-person, hand-to-hand communication and getting it online. Dr. Carol Lukensmeyer is president and founder of America Speaks. This group is partnering with Accentum on a suite of tools for public collaboration called AS Online. Dr. Lukensmeyer is our guest now. Thank you for being on the program today. It's great to talk to you.
Delighted to be with you.
Talk about what authentic public deliberation is.
Well, one of the challenges for elected officials and public managers is so much of the information they get about how the, in quotes, public thinks is in some way mediated, is in some way there's a step in between the public and the people who want to learn what they think. And I think this is all part of the press of the Open Government Directive to say we need to open up direct lines of communication between public managers and the people in the public.
Communicating in person, when I show up at the city council meeting or member of Congress comes and has a town hall meeting, that's one thing. How do you wrap those personal elements into the best parts of the online experience where you can get lots of input from lots of people because somebody might participate online who ordinarily wouldn't show up in an event like the ones I described?
Well, I think you've put your finger on an exciting moment in the development of technology and what's possible to do online today that wasn't 5 years ago. At America Speaks, given our track record of doing very large-scale public processes that are face-to-face, what we've done is taken each element of that work and looked at how to transpose it to the online environment, so that you can have all the advantages of the asynchronicity online, the advantages of much larger numbers of people, but then also looking to what are the design principles that allow you to bring in some of what you were acknowledging, that the real feel of if I'm standing in front of the city council member, I can have an impact that's different than when I'm just typing on my screen. So we think one of the most exciting things that we've developed is what we're calling a virtual summit, where it has all the advantages of the scale of the internet, but by both allowing a link to a webcast, and for a period of time it can be a threaded discussion, but then we link it to a teleconference through a phone line where you for 20 minutes actually have a discussion with a group of people who think differently than you do. So it brings a whole other element of that human interaction into the middle of an online experience. We also then can download onto your computer the same voting tools that we were well known for using all for the last decade and a half in our face-to-face meetings. There's still lots of work to be done in this kind of experimentation, but we think it's pretty exciting.
Carolyn, that's so interesting, the way that you're combining a lot of different approaches and media into one sort of platform or set of tools that can be offered to people. And, you know, at the National Academy, we've been involved in some of these online collaborations for some time now. And so, you know, issues that we've seen arise, things like, you know, the amount of work you do up front, engaging people and getting the right people to the conversation can really pay off. The ability to bring an element of trusted interaction to an online conversation is always a challenge. I mean, there are a number of governance of the conversation, a number of challenges that we face. From your perspective and the work that you've done, what do you think are the one or two biggest challenges that that you face in a successful online collaboration, and how does this new suite of tools and this methodology you're bringing to the table address that?
Well, that's a great question. I think, Lena, the way I want to respond is the kinds of things that federal managers most often ask us about, which I think would reflect the kind of challenges that they're finding in moving into collaborating online. One of the things, and you actually referenced it in your comment or in your question, getting people to come online who are a true demographic sample of a jurisdiction, or who are all the voices that need to be heard on an immigration issue, or who are all the voices that need to be heard on the budget fights that are happening in states all across the country right now. That is very different in terms of what you have to do that outreach online. You know, I think a lot of agencies in their first attempt sort of did it in the old style, like Federal Register. You announce it and who shows up, shows up. And then they were very disappointed in that they didn't get enough difference in perspective to participate. So I would say the outreach is one of the big challenges. I think another challenge is actually the framing of the issue and the development of the content. All of us have grown accustomed, I'm sad to say, in the world of public opinion polling today, a very large percentage of the polls start out with a bias embedded in the question. So I think the kind of work that needs to be done around what's the critical fact pattern that the public needs to have access to prior to their entering the deliberation, that is in some ways is easier online because you can actually develop a whole library of materials that are background for the public to have access to either prior to you starting the deliberation or an ability to easily go back and forth to that library of materials literally while you are deliberating.
Dr. Lukensmeyer, talk about the follow-up that you're doing and the way that you're gauging satisfaction with this, both on the part of the citizens that are participating and the public officials that are hearing from the citizens this way.
Well, there's three strategies that we try to embed in every project we do, whether it's a face-to-face project, frankly, Francis, or whether it's an online project. One is to embed a set of evaluation questions in the deliberation process itself. And we've used a standard set of questions for 15 years, so we have a good baseline to respond to over time, particularly when we're repeating the same issue. So it's very direct, simple questions to the participants like, you know, could you state facts that you learned today that you didn't know about Social Security before you participated in this? I don't know why that example jumped into my mind, but Social Security was the first national discussion we did way back in 98, 99. And Northwestern University had evaluation research on that project, and they followed a blind study, a blind sample of citizens that didn't participate and people who did participate, and even interviewed them 6 months later. And in that case, those citizens could recite facts they'd learned about Social Security that they didn't know until they had been in this deliberation. So, but back to your question, I'm sorry about that byway there. So, in one way is asking questions of themselves. In every case that we can, we do try to have an evaluation research grant that an independent set of researchers has besides the work that we're doing. The national conversation we did on debt and deficit in June, that was a MacArthur grant to Harvard and Berkeley. And they did pre and post surveys of every person that participated. And in that case, again, there was a blind match sample of people who didn't participate. So you could actually, in that case, watch how did people's opinions change, both by virtue of the new facts they learned and by virtue of the influence they had with each other during the dialogue itself. Then the third pillar in the evaluation is we're very clear, and this would be different in different agencies for different purposes, but very often in America Speaks work, we're either doing resource allocation or we're doing policy frameworks. So the third kind of evaluation is an actual, in most cases it's done, again, by an independent group with face-to-face interviews with the policymakers who were making the decision. When we did healthcare reform in California Speaks, 60 people were interviewed by a policy institute out there that asked the question. They were members of the legislature, the governor's staff, think tanks, big stakeholders in the state, and they actually were asked to evaluate how the outcomes of the public deliberation influenced the bill they then created after it had happened. So those are the three kinds of evaluation we try to build into every one of our projects.
Dr. Lukensmeyer, this is fascinating stuff, and I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us about it today. Thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and gosh, 10 minutes goes fast.
It really does, doesn't it? I appreciate you doing it. Dr. Carol Lukensmeyer, president and founder of America Speaks.